it's a very good idea to talk to somebody and just bring out the emotion. I've done it a couple times. It's worked, so.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
What do we want to talk about today?
Today on the Startup Chat with Steli and Heaton, we're going to talk about death.
Holy fuck. Elaborate.
So both of us, when we were children, a parent passed away.
Yep.
And I think that's impacted how we both think about death. Steli and I have never talked about this before. I didn't know that about him when I first met him until very recently. So I want to talk about death. My mom died when I was 8.
My father died when I was 6. And also, we're doing this recording on a balcony. There's like airplanes flying and construction work going on. So just to give you guys some context. But so my dad died when I was 6. And I had both of my grandparents die of cancer in our house. So I saw them kind of over years struggle with that and then ultimately die. So those are kind of the vivid deaths in my life early on.
Okay. So when I was 8, my mom actually passed away in her own bed, surrounded by everybody she loved, basically. There's like a house full of people. I don't even know how many people. I as well watched, as I was growing up, my grandfather die of cancer. My mom died of cancer as well, but in our house. Same kind of situation.
So, my dad died in our house. It was very unexpected. So it seemed like he had just a virus or a cold, a really bad cold for a few days. And then he died at night in his sleep. So the next morning, my mom just thought he's sleeping really long. And eventually she figured out that he's not reacting. And then, you know, the whole thing happened. I remember it was a Sunday morning playing with one of my older brothers, Lego. Like, we had like a Lego castle or something like that. And we were like as quiet as possible because we thought our parents are still sleeping. And then I remember just tidbits of like my mom telling us to go to the window and wait for the ambulance to come. And I remember a bunch of commotion and people in and out and everything. And then people started crying. And like, so then it's like just chopped up little movie clips of what I remember happening. But it was very unexpected for us. And it basically had some kind of a virus in the heart that basically clogged up the heart. So his heart just stopped beating in his sleep.
Wow.
So a peaceful way to die, but very unexpected for the rest of us.
Yeah. So I'll give some context now that the audience at least has a background.
I'm not sure if the audience is prepared for this conversation. Like, I'm envisioning people are just like, I want to be motivated to do some like cold emailing today. And then they started like, what the fuck is this? All right.
But we like to talk about things other people don't really talk about.
That's
right.
True.
Like that's part of this. So yeah. I think the reason I just wanted to talk about it is it's something I don't hear people talk about. I think there's everything from religion to, you know like fear of the unknown, right? That impacts this sort of conversation about death. It's like, where does the person go? What happens? Will I ever see them again? And all these other things. That's not really what I want to talk about, though. What I want to talk about is like, what do you think it's done to the way you think about life?
That's a great question. So when I was young, it messed me up in some like very predictable ways. I had a conversation with somebody at a conference like a few months ago, and she was telling me about like her dad died as well. And we discovered that late in the conversation. But one thing that she was saying was like, parents are like the gravitational center of the universe of the children. So when one parent leaves or dies, it kind of messes up the universe of your world and everything needs to be readjusted.
Yeah.
And it was funny. She was talking about this experience of like her having older siblings that went through the death of a parent and also a death of a brother or a sister.
Yeah.
And then her and her sister being born after that, all that like tragedy, and how different her and her sister were, like growing up, all being like little kids, upbeat and all like excited, and how the older siblings were like much more serious and like not cynical, not as like hippy dippy, life is amazing.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting conversation to have, but I think that, so a few things that happened with me. Number one is I think that I realized that my parents were not for granted. So I started like worrying a lot more about my mother and my other siblings in the sense that when my mom was late, death was the first thing I was thinking about. Like, Is she dead? Was she in an accident? Right. Did something happen? Right. So
that 6-year-old.
Yeah. So I remember that. You know, probably between being 6 to 14, being like a very like instant reaction, just like, did somebody die that I love?
So almost expecting the worst.
Yes. Yes. Or all of a sudden, you know, when you till you're 6, like death and life, all these things are not really playing part. But once it happens, it's then like part of your universe, so, and the way you think about things.
So I actually want to what some people call double click on that, and so. I've heard people say that off and on. I thought it was a funny one. But like you mentioned it in a way where like I think for me at least, I think of like the worst case scenario first, still, always. And it doesn't paralyze me, but it prepares me. Like it's almost like an instant preparation of, okay, here's the worst that could happen. We're not going to optimize for that. We're not going to focus on that. But like, at least we know what the worst that could happen is in that situation, right? And I think that's actually a very interesting point, because that's just instantly where my mind goes, and it's probably for the same reason. I don't think I was, for lack of a better word, I'm just going to start adding words for you on this. I don't think I was tortured by it like you were. I was a little bit older, but I also had known my mom was going to pass away for the previous, like, since I could understand anything. So I had known for at least 5 years, let's say 6 years. And so, you know, I find this interesting about founders also, in the sense that like, if you are expecting the worst and the worst happens, but you expected it, like you were like, okay, I see what that looks like. You're already ready for it. And then you can really legitimately say, what's the worst that could happen? So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Cause like those are the things that I'm thinking of.
It's interesting because I think about it, I think a little differently, in the sense that I think that when people die that you love, there's a lot of things that happen, right? So you have to deal with the trauma of like somebody not being around that you love, realizing that, you know, that life is short and all that like stuff. It seems a little cliche to even say the way I'm saying it, but I haven't thought about it deeply enough to have a different way of saying it. But so there's a bunch of that going on. I think for me, it just overcoming that and being able to live to like deal with life after that big traumatic event also just adds strength and depth to your character. Like it's invisible. I can't tell, but when you talk to people, you can tell what the depth of their character is based on the shit they went through life. And for people who didn't have to go through a lot of shit, these people are hopefully really happy and nice people, but there's always, there's a difference that you can feel that this person just is maybe not as wise, maybe not as deeply rooted in the universe and in life because they didn't have to weather so many storms. So I think it adds strength. It can add strength or break somebody. We talked about this in a prior episode about like origin stories.
Yep.
So I think that's one thing. And the other thing is I went through a journey for like many years. I was really afraid, especially about my mother. And then for whatever reason, I was able to let that go. So today, I physically could not live in the US and do what I do and my mom living in Germany without being paralyzed by fear and guilt. And I don't have that anymore because at some point I was able to let that go and not be as afraid. Not that I don't think about death, but it's not as present in any moment. And I feel like I've made a little bit of, you know, quote unquote peace with that. It can happen, but I don't have to be terrified about it. And it doesn't have to be like the main thing in my life every day. Let me ask you. So going through that experience of like losing your mother that early on, like how does that impact you? I mean, one thing that you said is about like the worst case, and you really know what the worst case is and how it feels and like preparing for that without being like paralyzed by it. But then how do you think that influenced the way you live your life? Like, do you think, you know, again, for lack of other cliches, do you think that you'll try to get more out of life because of that? Do you try to spend more time with family because of that? Are you trying to build bigger castles to prove more that you're worthy of her love? Or like, well, how do you think, what do you think is still an impact of that event of your early childhood in your life today?
Yeah, I think on a personal level, I can see a gap of something missing in my life that I probably either seek out or seeked out around having that relationship, right? Because that relationship no longer can be had. That's on a personal side, so I can see all kinds of examples of that. But on from a more like the way I think about things, I guess it's a very much sense of peace at all times for me, quite frankly, of like watch a lot of people pass away that were close family, but also like not taking it so, for lack of a better word, personally. And so it's that it almost is a detachment. In some ways it could be a bad thing, but like for me it's a detachment of even like in business or anything like that, if there's an outcome to be had and for some reason it just doesn't happen, I get over it pretty quickly. So it's a little bit of a detachment from other things and more of a, hey, I'm pretty grounded as myself. So I think I've been able to over time put it in a sort of not positive light, but be able to use it in that way, use this sort of event and use it to sort of think about the world as like I can actually impact it, but I'm not necessarily so attached to anything. You know, one of the things that I would say, and I think this is really related to it. I don't know how you feel about this, but like a lot of founders call, or entrepreneurs, or even people that start companies, call the company their baby.
Yeah.
And recently, I had to, for the most part, operating role, and even I've had to detach from one of my company's Kissmetrics because it was just time. And I've been asked that, hey, so you had to give up on your baby, or you had to let your baby go, or whatever. And I'm like, it was never my baby. Like, it's not mine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the world. Yeah, I helped create it, but it's this other entity out there, right? Just like your kid. Yeah, your kid will always be your baby, but that's because you remember it when they're a kid. I mean, they're not always going to be a baby, and they're independent.
Let me ask you about that detachment. So this is an interesting thing because, you know, one thing that I picked up on you is that although you are a really, and this might be a misinterpretation, maybe I'm projecting because I think this is something I find it to be very true with myself.
Go for it.
So I think that you're a really open guy on one end, but I feel that I also have the feeling that you're a guy that keeps a certain distance to anything and everything and anyone. So maybe that's where that detachment comes from. So I wonder, I'll tell you how I am, and then I'd love to hear if you feel similarly, and if that's an entrepreneurial thing or not. I'm curious.
Yeah, go for it.
So I seem pretty, I think, warm, and I'm trying to live a very authentic and honest life. And I can share lots of things with lots of people and try to help lots of people. I have lots of friends, all that good shit. But I deal with my problems with myself. Like, literally, if I have a big problem, in general, in my entire life, I would never just like go to my brothers or my mother or friends or anyone and be like, I'm really having this issue and I'm really struggling with it. I would always deal with it myself. I would listen to other people's problems for my entire life, but I would not share as openly. And for a while, I was like, maybe I need to practice sharing these things. And I tried it and it wasn't not as fulfilling. It felt fake. Like, I'm just saying it to say it and I'm listening to listen, but I'm not really getting anything from it. And for the last 2 years, I stopped doing that. And now I'm starting to experiment again with it. And there's some interesting things that are going on when I ask for help or when I share some problems I have. And I feel like very much I'm a newbie and I'm trying to figure out an angle for this for my life. Because I literally, for like 30 years out of the 33, I always dealt with my problems by myself, not asking anyone. Doesn't matter what kind of problems. I would suspect you were smiling and nodding while I was saying it. So I suspect that you can relate to this. That's the feeling that I have too. It's like, yeah, we're becoming good friends,
yeah,
but I also have the sense that we could be friends for 20 years and I would not know if you ever went through some serious shit because you just like deal with it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty much the same way. I try to deal with my own shit myself. Honestly, I probably have taken it pretty far where like, unless it's like really awful, I probably wouldn't even tell my wife. Yeah. Right.
And same
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Same
just here. Like whatever. Right. Yep. Probably leads us to talking less, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is there's a philosophy of like stoicism or whatever, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. So if you study that, I bet it could map to this. I haven't really studied it or looked into it because whatever. But I think that you were asking, well, one, I'm glad you brought that up because that was one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, but I didn't know how to articulate it as well as you did. So it's the idea of when you have problems, even really large ones, most people would go talk to somebody about it, talk to their friend, talk to whoever. I don't do that either. It sounds like you don't. But one thing about that, that you said, two things. One, yes, I think it is a founder trait, personally, and I'll explain why. But the other thing I wanted to sort of check in on that you said was, you said that you don't seek help from other people, and now you're trying to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's ironic or not, but ironically, I've been going through the same thing, where like I've been trying to figure out, how do I ask someone for help or even feedback or whatever in a way that actually helps me?
Yeah.
Because at this point, I think I've found my own ways and systems that are very internal, introverted, so to speak, I guess. So I think I'm going through that, and it's been very difficult.
let me tell you a discovery that I made with this. So for the first time around where I try to practice going to my friends and family with my problems, even if I don't think they can help me, just to do it, I think that what I was focusing on was, all right, I'm going to share this to do it, and then I know you probably can't help me fix this problem, but let's do it anyways, because for some reason, it's weird that I'm never doing this, right? And we're going to, let's break the format and make this a little longer episode.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I think this one warrants it. So what was happening was I would go into these conversations very mechanically, saying things to say them, listening to the reaction just to listen, and then going, yeah, I kind of knew that this would not be helpful, right? Yeah. So kind of like confirming that this shit is like a lot of work for me, and it doesn't really pay any dividends.
Yep.
So maybe it just doesn't work for me, like for everybody else.
Yeah.
Now, I made peace with that from a hot moment, and now I'm rediscovering this topic and from a new perspective.
Okay.
So here's what's happening now. What's happening now is that I started going with my problems or challenges to friends, not to everybody, but to a few people that I trust on a very deep level, even if I think they can help me with it, but not focusing on them being able to help me with it.
Okay.
My focus now is not on the rational level, on like the what's the solution to this. My focus has started being more on the emotional level of like, I just want to say it and feel it, right? Just be authentic in that moment and feel the pain, the confusion, whatever I have, and have an outlet to be able to feel it with somebody else.
Yeah.
And then this maybe is a very feminine way of approaching problems versus a masculine way that's always just irrational and fixing problems. But
whatever.
So I started sharing these things, not expecting a solution back from somebody, just expecting
empathy, maybe.
Maybe empathy, but even more importantly, I'm not really looking to the other side for like confirming and feeling it. I'm just looking
to put it out there in the world.
Yeah, I'm just trying to create a moment where I can really feel it and stay with that feeling for a moment with somebody else that I trust and that I feel safe with, and then see what happens. And you know, the crazy thing is, since I've started approaching it this way, not every time, but a surprisingly high number of times, like the conversations were really good, and even a solution would come up or clarity that I would not have had before, just because I'm not focusing on it and it's not really the important thing. And I've started coming out of these conversations going, oh shit, I now get it. Like, I do get why this is really could be helpful even for me. So it's an interesting, it's an interesting kind of a new approach, and I see different results, and I'm starting to do change in this regard and ask more for help, dealing with more problems involving people in my life versus trying to deal with all the problems by myself.
That's awesome. I'm going to start sharing my feelings more. It's good.
And I don't know. It's weird. It's not even just the like, let me talk about how horrible I feel. It's just like, let me talk about this issue, but like, I don't expect a solution from you, and I don't expect you to know more about this than me, and I don't expect anything. All I want to do is like, I think it's healthy for me to externalize it, to put it out there, to feel it, and to stay with it for a moment. And just by having somebody I trust, we can stay with the emotion and with what's going on for a moment, and it's not just in my head.
That makes sense.
So
let's talk about founders.
So what can founders learn from all this?
I think it's, you were asking earlier if this is a pattern with founders, of like solving their own problems or solving them internally. You just expressed an idea of how to put it out there, which I think is great. And so instead of focusing on someone helping you, focus on getting your feelings out there, right? And it's easier to do that with a person around, right? Otherwise, you're talking to a mirror or something.
Yeah.
So I think with founders, like, there's so many decisions that founders, even like executives in a company, for example, have to make. And if you go seek feedback on every single decision, then you just won't make them fast enough.
Yep.
And at some point, founders I know, they end up realizing that it is decisions, and it is how fast you make them, even more so than them being right. So I think it's a quality that definitely translates, which is like you're solving, you know, your own problems, and you're doing it sort of hopefully fast, but also not getting all stressed out or not having to get feedback from other people for every problem. I think the thing where it can go wrong, and I've seen this too, is like you don't ask feedback on anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, because there's some things that someone does know and they can give you an answer in 5 minutes instead of you even trying something. So I think there's a good balance, but overall on a high level, founders need to make hard decisions, and if you can make them on your own without feedback, you're going to make them faster. And that's a good thing.
I agree. I think everything in life is about balance. So this balance is tough. I think on the one hand, founders need to be decisive, right? And they need to be part of being decisive. The crazy thing about being decisive as a founder is that you know, if you've been a founder for more than a minute, that there's a good chance you're wrong. But you still need to be okay with making that decision and being wrong, but being fully determined with executing on that decision right now and being still open enough to know that maybe in a week or a month or a year, you might have to change your mind about this.
Right.
I think that's the tough thing. At the same time, I think it's important for founders to be in touch with their emotional household, because the way you feel and the states you're in will influence the quality of your work and the quality of your thoughts and the quality of your decision making and the communication you have with others.
Yeah.
And if you're totally out of touch with that emotional household and you're just in your head, then a lot of times the decision you're going to be making are going to be poor, and the way you communicate them is going to be poor, and it's just going to create a lot of friction and problems. And so I think it's a worthwhile exercise for founders to have some kind of a mechanism to being in touch with how you feel and what kind of a state you're in. And when you get to a point where you're like, we had an episode about being overwhelmed, like when you realize, oh shit, I'm overwhelmed over the last few days, to be able to step back and make some decisions on it, or have some outlet to get that out of your system and get clarity on what to do to adjust. Overwhelm is one. Fear is another. Doubt is another. There's many emotions that are shit for you to have if you're a founder.
Yeah.
That will going to make your job a lot harder and make you a lot worse at your job. So I think it's important for all of us to just learn to explore emotions better, but also learn to find ways to be in touch with them and then react to them. And maybe for some people that's talking to good friends, maybe for others it's doing something else, but I think it's really important for a founder to be in control of their emotional household.
Yeah. And so your tip would be talk to someone with feelings in mind instead of with feedback in mind.
Yes.
I like that. So I said your tip. So what's my tip, huh?
I think your tip is why we did this this topic on today's episode.
Okay.
Is when something is on your mind, bothering you or keeping you busy, or if there's some topic that you feel like there's something here for me to be explored, I know that I want to deal with this, and I know that this is an interesting thing, even if it's hard, you talk about it and you seek somebody out to talk about this. And death is an interesting topic because